outside. And all them crazy murderers will never run from inside. You try to keep me down cause you see no joy. All them knows them from, so you call a man a boy. I ain't a tie, can't just see. Open up your eyes.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right, in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real.
And here we go, folks. It is Tuesday, March the 18th, 2025, the year of our Lord, Jesus Christ, King of the Gentiles. You are listening to today's edition of the Ugly Truth broadcast. Welcome to the program, folks. Hope you're all doing well. Those of you of goodwill, of course, as we like to say on this program often, we don't wish our enemies well, particularly when our enemies have dedicated themselves for the last 3,000 years towards the destruction of all Gentile civilization. We have what we hope will be a very interesting and informative program lined up for you today, folks. Lots of stuff has happened since we were last together, and it needs to be unpacked and dissected and analyzed, not merely the on a surface level, as unfortunately seems to prevail in lots of circles of people these days within the quote-unquote alternative movement. You're going to hear some things today, folks, that, sad to say, you probably won't hear in too many other places. On that note, folks, I received some disturbing news this week from a couple of the listeners who said that you are all being bombarded with commercials on Rumble and on BitChute. I did not realize this, folks. I only started using these platforms to host the programs because I was having trouble loading up the audio files right onto the Ugly Truth website. And so I thought, well, what the heck? I just might as well use these other platforms. I did not realize that you were being bombarded with commercials. And so beginning today, I'm going to try and reload these up on the website so that there's just you can either download it or there's just going to be a simple play button for you to click, and it should play without any commercials. So again, my apologies, folks. I didn't realize that was the case. So hopefully we'll be able to get these technical issues ironed out so that we can just have it play right from the website instead of having to go to Rumble and some of these other platforms, although I appreciate the opportunity of being able to host these programs there. But nevertheless, folks, commercials are just a real big pain in the neck. Anyway, folks, we have, as I said, hopefully a very interesting and informative program. And we are joined once again by our good friend Stas. We want to take this opportunity to thank him ahead of time for making time for us, adjusting his schedule to be able to come on and to discuss these very important things. Over the weekend, folks, the United States, presumably under the direction of President Trump, launched a series of airstrikes against the rebels in Yemen. Apparently, last that I saw, there have been as many as 50 or so people killed, many of them civilians, women and children. And all the usual suspects engaged in all the usual business of saying that this was proof that Trump is out to start World War III. This was the start of World War III. He did this in order to make Netanyahu happy, even though he hates Netanyahu's guts. He did this in order to please the Jews, you know, because they are his puppet masters. And without any further analysis or even considering that there might be something else going on here. Okay. First and foremost, folks, let me just state up front that I was extremely disheartened, dispirited, disillusioned, discouraged, whatever D word we want to use to describe this, to hear that these strikes had taken place, because on the surface it would appear to be an abrogation or a reversal of what President Trump has said during this campaign and then since he has become president, just about coming up on 2 months, that there he would bring an end to these wars, he would use the power of the United States to bring an end to the existing wars. And now, all of a sudden, we're bombing the hell out of the Houthis, and on the surface, it would appear as though, given who the Houthis are and who their main antagonists are, meaning the Jews, that this was Trump, you know, going back on his campaign promises and certainly on the promises that he made when he gave his inauguration speech. But then I reminded myself, folks, I said, you know, think back to the program that we did a few weeks ago where we discussed the issue of X in that algebraic equation. X not being a variable, but rather X being a constant, which is indeed that Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, does not want any new wars, especially not any wars that are going to lead to World War III where nuclear weapons are used. And so I had to take a little bit of my own advice, folks, and I said, okay, why would he do something like this? Okay, if he said he doesn't want any new wars, and he said that he's going to use the power of the United States in order to prevent any new wars from starting, then how does that all fit into the equation? That's one of the things that we'll be talking about today, folks, in addition to, obviously, the big news that the Torah terrorists of Israel have launched a fresh wave of genocidal attacks against the defenseless people of Gaza. At last count, last time I checked, there were about 500 people who had been killed. And why all of this is happening now? Before we do that, though, I'm going to go ahead and bring up our good friend Stas, who is always a welcome addition to this program. And again, we want to thank him right now, right here, right now, for making time to do the program. Sergeant Stas, please report for duty.
Hey, hi, editor. This is weird. You know, for those of us who are watching things closely, it is yet, like, every time we're doing these things, the hugest ever. It's just the stakes get higher,
yep,
and the risks get worse. And really, I mean, it was always wild. Years and years, it was always, like, deadly stuff going on, incredible stuff. This is, it's like just reaching higher heights and riskier risk. And, you know, I hate to use the word interesting, but it is, it does involve that, even though there's tragic stuff going on.
Sure. World War III and Armageddon's an interesting thing, Stas. Let's face it. Nobody's bored when World War III,
yeah,
and Armageddon is going on. I share your concerns because clearly, you know, we're getting closer to the center. This journey that began on the at the farthest ends of the solar system towards the center of the sun, you know, as we get closer, the sun gets bigger and it gets brighter and things get warmer and warmer. And now we're real close, okay, to the point where we can really feel it. And unfortunately, the people who should be giving us, who should be creating rational conversations and analysis about this are not. You know, I received an email this morning from somebody and they said, have you seen the latest from so-and-so? And I'm not going to name any names here, but so-and-so is a rather prominent voice within the alternative media. And I said, no, I don't follow so-and-so's work anymore. I really don't follow anybody within the alternative media. I can barely tolerate, I hate to say this, but I can barely tolerate Judge Napolitano's programs lately, because 1 minute, you know, President Trump is out to start World War III and to kill all 8 billion people on the planet. And then the next minute, you have people like Scott Ritter who are saying the exact opposite, the state is gone, that Donald Trump is not going to start any new wars. I don't even know what they're going to say with regards to what has happened in Yemen. I'm afraid to tune in. But anyway, the long and the short of it is, unfortunately, Stas, is that we really are on our own. Those few of us who still are stickler for details, as our good friend Mike Piper used to say, and who don't let themselves get excited and jumpy over things to the point where they spit conclusions out without having all the information. So, but we're going to do our part today, folks, in order to bring some, we're not going to say, folks, definitively, we're going to say there are some other possibilities that we have to take into account. Stas, before we jump into that, is there anything you want to add to that?
No, perfect introduction.
Okay, so I'm going to start off with a story here, folks. Now, this is related to the situation in Yemen, and in particular, President Trump's decision over the weekend to launch airstrikes that have killed, last number I saw was a little over 50. This story I ran on the website just about 2 months ago, folks, and the title of the story is IDF is enlisting dozens of Yemeni immigrants to help combat the Houthis. Let's see. The IDF has enlisted speakers of the Yemeni dialect who have immigrated to Israel or were raised in Yemeni households to assist in collecting intelligence and understanding the Yemeni language and culture. It's the subtitle. I will skip the EdNote commentary and get right to the story here. This appears on the Israel National News website. The IDF has enlisted several dozen Jews of Yemeni origin who speak the Yemeni dialect to assist Israel in its fight against the Houthi rebels in Yemen, Khan News reported on Wednesday. According to the report, some of the enlistees emigrated to Israel from Yemen, while others were raised in Yemeni-speaking households. They are expected to assist the IDF in collecting intelligence and understanding the Yemeni language and culture. Okay, so let's see. Since the ceasefire with Hezbollah went into effect, the Iran-backed Houthi rebels have become the main thorn in Israel's home front, in the Israeli home front's side. Near daily rocket launches from Yemen send millions across the country into bomb shelters, causing property damage and endangering Israeli lives. Khan News reported last week that senior U.S. officials notified their Israeli counterparts that until the Biden administration concludes its term on January the 20th, the United States intends to intensify its strikes against the Houthis. Now, the reason why this is important, folks, it's at the very first part of the story, which is the fact that Israel is recruiting Yemeni Jews from Yemen, who know the culture, who speak the language perfectly, to assist them. Now, this is not a new topic, folks, even though this is the first time we are dealing with the Yemeni side of this. We have discussed many times on this program and on the website the use of these highly trained special assassins and saboteurs known as the Mistarvim. And these special forces that work for the IDF and the Shin Bet and Mossad, they are Palestinian Jews. These are Jews who grew up in Palestinian lands, who know the culture, who know the dialect, they know everything about so that they can pass for Palestinians. And then they're trained to be assassins and spies, and then they are sent into these Palestinian communities to act as the eyes and the ears and the assassins for Israel. Now, it's not just Palestinians, folks. They have units of Lebanese Jews, Jews from Lebanon, who go in and they do the same thing. You have Syrian Jews who are recruited into these units, and they go back into Syria, and they act as spies and when called upon, as saboteurs and assassins. They have Iraqi Jews who do it. They have Persian Jews who go back into Iran to function in this regard. I'm sure that the assassination of Ismail Haniyeh in Tehran was at least to some degree facilitated by these Farsi-speaking Iranian Jews working for Israel. You have Turkish Jews who were sent back into Turkey to engage in operations of this sort. And now we have the Yemenis, folks. Now, why is this important? Well, the notion that Israel doesn't have some of these people, some of her people, deeply embedded within the Houthi structure, just is not a possibility, folks. Okay? They're in there acting as the eyes and ears, and when necessary, to act as assassins and saboteurs. So, given the fact that the theater of action with regards to the Houthis in Yemen happens to be the Red Sea, where we have significant U.S. naval assets in the region, including an aircraft carrier, holds about 5,000 personnel. What that means is that if you were Israel and if you were Benjamin Netanyahu, one of the things that you would really love to do is to see one of those ships, especially an aircraft carrier that has about 5,000 American personnel on it. You'd love to see that thing get hit by a torpedo and have it sink with massive loss of life. Massive. I mean, imagine, folks, a USS Liberty Part II, but instead of only 34 men being killed, as took place when Israel slaughtered our servicemen that day, but instead several thousand. Okay. And in the subsequent investigation, it's found out that it was a torpedo with Iranian markings on it that was launched by the Houthi rebels. Okay. Now, if you're Donald Trump, if you are President Donald Trump, and you have just gotten wind, if you've just gotten intelligence indicating that another USS Liberty was in the works, what would you do? Would you launch airstrikes in order to prevent this from happening? As much as Donald Trump loathes the idea of utilizing the military, you know, that then results in the loss of civilian life. Nevertheless, between the two choices, having 50 or 60 people get killed versus losing thousands of American personnel that would then be blamed on Iran, folks, because we have to remember that the Houthis are there as agents and actors of Iran. So what are you going to do? Of course, this is what you're going to do, folks. You're going to launch airstrikes. Now, if we stick with the theory that we're advancing here, which is that that there were Israeli saboteurs and spies and assassins embedded within the Houthi structure, and all of a sudden Donald Trump has wiped out that connection, and you're Benjamin Netanyahu, and you were planning on doing this, folks, literally any minute. You were planning on doing this any minute. You've just been backed into a significant corner. Stas, let's talk about this. Your thoughts.
Oh, the Mistavin angle is huge. There's so many angles that can come out of it. These guys also can be in the form of them or Cyanim and our own carrier strike group that could pull something. Mm-hmm. But the idea that they could be part of a false flag attack emanating from Yemen, putting the bullseye on the two greatest enemies in the world of the Houthi and Iran, the big targets at the end of the day. Even Russia is sort of in the way of them getting to them, was why they've got the target on their back, a different type of enemy. But this is what makes these things so complicated. They could come at it from any way. Also, there is a threat of tremendous political pressure on Trump regarding this, because if he's seen as not protecting Israeli shipping, the screeching, as you referred to it, be huge. That puts pressure on Trump. But that he doesn't like loss of life. I was referring to that book by Woodward, Bob Woodward, early on in Trump's career as president, was basically attacking him in his book about being squeamish about casualties,
mm-hmm.
which thank God Trump is. He doesn't like to see the boys come home, and he doesn't like I doubt he likes the idea of the strike. He's never been in favor of that. My view of Trump is he's a finesse man. He likes to take care of his enemies in bloodless operations.
Right.
He really does,
mm-hmm.
which is admirable. But by purely because people run on emotion, they automatically think because he's a steak-eating guy and a regular guy that he is the killer and
right.
Barack Obama
right.
is a nice guy.
Right.
So many people operate out of that surface thing, including guys that are in the truth movement that we always kind of go after because they should know better. You know, they get pretty, in fact, sometimes they're worse than the general public with that.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So let's just consider, you know, the scenario, folks, you know, just in so that everybody here, you know, what Stas and I are trying to do here is to kind of carve out a path. You know, if you've ever taken like firearms instruction, folks, and you have a competent teacher, he or she, usually a he, although women are, they are actually, they say they are physiologically better suited to shoot a firearm more accurately than men are. But anyway, if you have a good firearms instructor, he or she is going to, step by step, he's going to say, okay, you know, you put your, if you're right-handed, you're shooting right-handed, you put your left foot in front of you, you angle your right foot back at almost a perpendicular angle to your left front foot. You extend your left forearm all the way out. You grab the gun like it's the throat of a viper that's trying to bite you, and you squeeze it as tight as you can. And then he will go into, you know, breathing control and trigger pull. Make sure you're not pulling to the right or to the left. Okay, so what Stas and I here are trying to do, folks, is to show those of you out there who are confused. And I only bring this up, folks, because I get a lot of emails from people saying, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? And, you know, if people would just learn these little tricks, I hate to call them tricks, these little maneuvers, whatever we want to call them, protocols, let's just use that word, protocols, then you won't be so susceptible to a lot of the hype and the hysteria that unfortunately prevails out there, folks. Now, with regards to this, X remains the same. Donald Trump does not want war, especially not any war that's going to result in 8 billion people getting killed. So what that means is that with regards to what just happened over the weekend and the strikes on the Houthis, my gut tells me, folks, that the plan was on the part of Israel that they were going to launch whatever. They're either going to be missiles, they're going to be drones, they're going to be a torpedo, as they used in trying to sink the USS Liberty. It would lead to massive loss of life. And now Donald Trump is in this corner where he can't have a rational conversation with the American people because several thousand American service personnel have just drowned to their deaths. And it's being blamed on Iran. I mean, imagine, you know, 9/11 within 15 minutes of the planes hitting the building, and the Jewish mainstream media is already screaming that it's Ahab the Arab. What's George Bush supposed to do at that point? Okay, the American people, they've already swallowed that hook that it's Islamic terrorists that did this. Now he is in this corner where he has to go along with that narrative. And to a certain degree, even though Trump, you know, he is not cut from the same kind of cloth, he only has so much maneuverability. Think back to when he was basically cornered into launching very limited airstrikes against Syria. Okay, now, yes, he did the cautious thing by letting the Syrians know ahead of time. He said, look, get all your personnel off of the airfield. We're going to bomb it. I've got to do this. You know, I don't want it to escalate. And that's what happened, folks. But with something like this, if we were to see massive loss of life, now you've got the entire pro-military wing of the American electorate screaming for Iranian blood. So how do you, if you have to launch airstrikes, you launch airstrikes against Yemen. Stas, your thoughts on this?
That is huge. I mean, most of the wars that America has been involved in regard naval catastrophes or wars, like the Lusitania, World War One, Spanish-American War, the Maine ship, the Gulf of Tonkin incident. World War II was a naval attack, ship sinking scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And if they got one of those characters, that the carriers, that would be like a 9/11, like
yep.
pictures of it going down. It
yep.
would be in
Absolutely.
People's minds.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, good point, Stas. You think about the major wars that we have fought, World War One, Lusitania, World War Two, Pearl Harbor. Let's see, the escalation in Vietnam with, what was the ship? What was the name of the ship? Having a senior moment here. Of course, the Maine, you know, the sinking of the Maine with the Spanish-American War. Yes, absolutely. So, and it's so easy to do. It's so easy to do, especially when you've got these super quiet, highly sophisticated, technologically sophisticated submarines that the Israelis bought from Germany. So, folks, my theory is that this is what was in the works. And it wasn't just in the works in a small way. I think that it was in the works, like, immediately. I think that it was within days of happening. And this is the reason why President Trump did this thing, ordered these strikes that he did. Now, do I have any proof that it was in the works? Well, we don't have any proof, but we know that Benjamin Netanyahu he's in this very, very difficult and desperate corner. Okay. His coalition is falling apart. His government is about to collapse because he has been forced to give in to President Trump's demands for the ceasefire and for the return of the hostages. He simply can't have these hostages come home, folks. He can't have them come home, because if they come home, then there's no more reason to continue on with the war. And remember, folks, the war is not about the hostages. It's not even about Hamas. It's about greater Israel. Hamas and the hostages were just the excuses that were used to get the war started. But anyway, so if you're Benjamin Netanyahu, folks, and Donald Trump has just wiped out your spies and your saboteurs who were planning to do something big in order to change the script, folks, this is very important, in order to change the script, then you've just had one of your aces in the sleeve that you've had up your sleeve, you've just had it turn into a joker. And now that brings us to the next topic, folks, which is the airstrikes. First of all, before we get to that, Stas, did you want to add anything to that?
There's also a lot of, if there's a lesser scenario, it would be also Trump has to, this sounds kind of cold me saying this, but he has to also be constantly aware of his approval rating.
Sure.
And Netanyahu and the Israelis, there was a line drawn in the sand by the Houthi that, you know, they cannot tolerate, you know, no, the seizing of the food shipments.
Mm-hmm.
To Gaza. So they put that in the line, and that was a little bit of a disadvantage for Trump because he had to deal with that blowback from that.
That's
of course,
true.
It's ridiculous. No food. I mean, so they drew the line. So he didn't much. There was indeed a threat of that, and he wouldn't look good if Israeli shipping went down. Of course, our shipping.
You're right. That's a very good point.
Yes.
Yeah, very good point. I had forgotten about that. That the Houthis had said that they were not. You know, that they now that the Israelis were not allowing to enter Gaza, that the war was back on. So, you know, and this is something else, folks, that we have to, you know, when I hear things like that, when I hear, you know, like, for example, Hamas just made a statement in the aftermath of these strikes that took place overnight. Hamas made a statement that the hostages are doomed, that they're going to wind up dead. Now, what they mean by that is that the Israelis are going to kill the hostages by bombing them to death. But the way it's being painted in the media is that Hamas is threatening to kill the hostages. So, you know, they make a statement like this without thinking about how it's going to be used against them. And likewise, you know, with the Houthis, when they announced, you know, I mean, look, they're doing this with the best of intentions. It's an error made in good faith, but they don't realize how it's going to be used against them. Because I guarantee you now that when these hostages turn up dead, and that's one of the reasons that the Israelis have sorry, folks, that thing just turned off. The Israelis have reignited this war. One of the things that they're doing is that they are trying to push Hamas into killing these hostages, or to saying something along those lines. Okay, so why did I take that road? I don't know. Okay, Stas, we've got a very important sound bite that we are going to play here in order to set up the next chapter of this discussion. Are you ready for a sound bite?
Oh, yeah, excellent.
Okay, let's see. We've got here. Here we go, folks.
So we're at the Kennedy Center. Needs a lot of work. We're going to fix it, make it beautiful. It's a very big part of the fabric of D.C. and the Capitol. We're bringing back the Capitol. We're bringing back our country. But while we're here, I thought it would be appropriate. We are tomorrow announcing and giving all of the Kennedy files. So people have been waiting for decades for this. And I've instructed my people that are responsible, lots of different people, put together by Tulsi Gabbard. And that's going to be released tomorrow. We have a tremendous amount of paper. You've got a lot of reading. I don't believe we're going to redact anything. I said, just don't redact. You can't redact. But we're going to be releasing the JFK files, and that would be tomorrow. Do you have anything else to add to that, Carolyn? So that's a big announcement. They've been waiting for that for decades. Then I said during the campaign I'd do it, and I'm a man of my word. So tomorrow you have the JFK files. What time will they be released?
Tomorrow afternoon.
Tomorrow afternoon. Okay.
Have you seen what's in the files? Have you read them?
I've heard about them.
What's there?
It's going to be very interesting.
Was there an executive summary supplied to you as president?
No, I'm not doing summaries. You'll write your own summaries. It's many pages. Is it 80,000 pages? Approximately 80,000 pages. So it's a lot of stuff. And you'll make your own determination.
Mr. President, there's been some discussion about potentially meeting with Putin in your administration. If there is a peace deal signed, would you be open to inviting Putin to the White House?
Well, I don't want to really even discuss it. I got to get the deal. I've got to get the deal signed. 2,000 people a week sometimes are killed, and we have to get that agreement signed. But that's the only thing I think about.
Are you confident that could happen tomorrow, as soon as tomorrow?
We're going to have a very important call. You know, we've had calls, but we're getting down to a very critical stage. And we want to get the whole Russia-Ukraine thing done. And I think Ukraine wants it. I know they want it. Everybody wants it. It's tremendous death. The bloodshed is unbelievable, like few people have ever seen before.
Okay, folks, so that was the President of the United States, Donald Trump, announcing that today, this afternoon, which technically speaking, folks, means it could be right now. I don't know. I haven't seen the news, because I've been doing the program here, but 80,000 pages, folks, of information, unredacted information. Donald Trump made sure, told the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard not to redact anything. Okay. How many of those 80,000 pages, folks, deals with Israel's involvement in the murder of the 35th president of the United States? Now, we don't just have to speculate, folks, those of us who have read Mike Piper's groundbreaking, history-making book, Final Judgment. We don't have to speculate. We actually do have somebody who has seen those files, and we played this on a previous program, folks. His name is Jefferson Morley. He appeared with Tucker Carlson a month or so ago, and he talked about Israel being mentioned in the JFK files that are going to be released. And in fact, we're going to go ahead and play that soundbite now, folks, and then on the other side of it, we will pick it up with our discussion with our special guest, Stas.
Final question. Thank you for taking this time. Since you've been working on this for so long, and you did come out of, you know, the most prominent of the mainstream media, the Washington Post, have you been slandered as a nutcase conspiracy theorist? I always wondered, like, what do they do with you exactly? Because you're not coming from the fringes. You're coming from the right from the middle of the establishment.
I mean, you know,
you've been attacked.
Yeah, I mean, the problem that they have is that I don't have a conspiracy theory, so the label of conspiracy theorist just doesn't apply. And the other thing is, you know, nobody can deny the stuff that I'm talking about. Let me mention another JFK document that's very important and I think will interest you. One of the things that's withheld and is in the JFK collection right now is the testimony of James Angleton in 1975 to the Church Committee about the Israeli nuclear program. This is a 113-page document, and it's heavily redacted to this day. And the redactions clearly pertain to Israel. Now, is this an assassination-related document? Absolutely. The Assassination Records Review Board said this is an assassination-related document. It meets the statutory definition. Okay. If the president and this effort are serious, that testimony will be declassified because Angleton controlled the Oswald file on the one hand, and he was a contact with the Israelis on the other. So it belongs in the public record. That's another test of, is this serious effort?
So let me ask you, why in the world would the Dimona project, the Israeli nuclear program, which has never officially been admitted by anybody but Israel, what would that conceivably have to do with the assassination of JFK?
Well, it relates to what Angleton was doing in 1963, okay? There were profound conflicts between Israel and the Kennedy White House over the nuclear program. Kennedy was pressing for on-site inspections, which the Israelis resisted because on-site inspections would have realized that they had a bomb-making program. So this was a real bone of contention between the Israeli government and the Kennedy administration in the summer of 1963, at a time when Angleton controlled the Oswald file. So just the juxtaposition of those facts means that everything about it should be on the public record.
And Angleton, who is the counterintel chief at CIA,
yeah,
James Jesus Angleton, mm-hmm. He... That's quite amazing. Did he support, do you know his view of the Israeli nuclear program?
I mean, it's very hard to tell sometimes from this testimony, given all the redactions. But yeah, that's, was he secretly supporting Israel against JFK? That's one of the questions that needs to be answered by full disclosure.
So why would he be asked about that in a congressional hearing? That's quite amazing.
Well, because in 1975, the CIA had been revealed to be running assassination programs, to be running a mind control program, to be spying on the anti-war movement, spying on Americans. So, you know, he was hauled before, and Congress, who was completely in the dark, had been duped or wanted to be duped, you know, suddenly their eyes woke up and they had to explain to their constituents, hey, what have these guys been doing in our name? And so Angleton was called in, and this was all, you know, executive session testimony. So he was grilled about lots of things, about domestic spying, about the Israeli nuclear program, about the JFK assassination. Interestingly enough, he was not questioned about Oswald because even the church committee did not know the extent of the pre-assassination surveillance of Oswald. That's only something we've learned since the 1990s.
It is interesting. I mean, I have no idea what the truth is, of course, but it is interesting that one of the only major policy changes that Lyndon Johnson made in the year after the president's murder was, you know, on the Israeli nuclear program, which he accepted.
Basically, he dropped the demand for on-site inspections. He dropped the demand that AIPAC be classified as a domestic lobby. And, you know, there was really no accountability after that. And the story only emerged, you know, 10 years later when the church committee started pressing Angleton for some explanations.
So I had no idea until you just told me that that was actually a feature of those hearings. And so, of course, I mean, the American public has an absolute right to know what's in that exchange 50 years later.
And this is a tough call for the president, because he's going to get very strong pushback from his national security apparatus, supported by the CIA, supported by Israeli interests, to say, no, you can't talk about that. That's not permitted. You know, you can't, don't do that.
Yeah, it's frustrating as an American citizen. But, you know, I don't have any kind of real agenda here other than it's, you know, my country. I'm a shareholder in America, as are you. And I think we have an absolute moral right and a legal right to know this 50 years later. So, I really appreciate your taking all this time, Jefferson Morley. And I hope you don't mind if we check in with you, you know, to see if the promise is fulfilled.
Like I say, there's some very clear benchmarks to figure out, is this working or not? And, you know, are people holding up the process and obstructing the president's wishes? Or are they, you know, are they really going along? And so the proof is in the pudding. You know, the president's sentiment is great. It's great that a president has committed to this. It's amazing that no president has committed in this way before, but we'll take it. I'm not a supporter of President Trump, but on this issue, he's absolutely right. And we need to follow through on what he said.
Amazing.
Okay, folks, so that was Tucker Carlson's interview with Jefferson Morley, who has spent, I guess, the last 30 years or so of his career investigating the assassination of John F. Kennedy, President John F. Kennedy. And he says something very shocking, shocking to those of us who are unfamiliar with the topic, which is that Israel is heavily mentioned in a lot of these classified notes that Donald Trump has just ordered to be released to the public. Now, this is important, folks, because of timing. Again, those of you out there listening to this program, hopefully not too many of you will fall into the category that I'm about to describe, but those of you out there listening to the program who are saying, oh, Donald Trump gave Benjamin Netanyahu the green light to initiate this slaughter of innocent people in Gaza. We have to look at the timing of this, folks, because if you're Benjamin Netanyahu and Donald Trump has just announced from the Kennedy Center that he is going to release the next day, within the next, I don't know, 12 hours or so, that he's going to release the Kennedy files, what do you do, especially when you know that Israel is heavily mentioned in those 80,000 pages of unredacted files? What do you do to bump that off of the news cycle? Stas, your thoughts and analysis.
This is huge. You just got to wonder why Trump felt that he's going to do this at this time. What was brewing?
Yep.
That. It actually ties into the Yemen story. Probably they were going to pull a false flag over there.
Yep.
Sink a ship or put Trump in a position where he's got to go to war with them if they sink some of their own ships. That's also impossible. They have so many options to get that rolling, I would suppose. And this is just huge. The Michael Collins Piper's work, he was all over that. it's interesting. There's a new group that's rising. What I call the strong people. They are not that they're not Christian, but they are people who are possibly, or even progressives and liberals that are willing to take a look at this issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like the tremendously popular comedian Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, yeah.
And the tremendously popular comedian Bill Burr. And the underground hit Jimmy Dore.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking the look one way or another at the work of Mike Piper, which is the Israelis wanted nukes and Kennedy got in the way.
Yeah.
It was a discussion that you would have in steakhouses and donut shops across America. Who did 9/11? Who killed Kennedy? And they all go all over the place and lead to talking about giants and aliens, and it right. goes away. And it lasts, you know, and there were also thousands of books. It was a maze, you know, who did Kennedy? Was it this mob group? Was it the Corsicans alone? Was it the mob? Was it the CIA only? They would like to drop it totally only on the agency's doorstep. And there you have Angleton was the man who screwed up any good guy in the agency and FBI and counterintelligence to boot, because he was blocking everything in CIA.
Mm-hmm.
He's a huge villain in the Final Judgment book, and there's also a new group of people like this guy, not really a Trump supporter, but who knows the stakes, just like Aaron Mate and Max Blumenthal. These players are coming awake, probably because the stakes are getting higher and higher.
Mm-hmm.
They know. I think that's why, you know, Jeffrey Sachs knows well this story, I'm sure, and he's extremely agitated lately and given it everything he's got.
Yes.
Because he's a righteous smart
Jew.
Enough to know.
A righteous Jew.
A righteous, yeah. Yeah, he knows what's at stake. This is, these wars that are coming are getting bigger and bigger. By the way, ties into both the Gazan peace talks and the Russia-Ukraine
that's right.
war, which are both massive.
Yep, absolutely.
And Trump is taking this to the table because he's got an almost impossible task of accomplishing these peace deals, because everything is in the way. The real people who run things have no interest in ending Ukraine-Russian war and Gaza murder operations.
Okay.
So that's not a war over there. There is no ceasefire. It's a murder thing.
Absolutely. And this is important to keep in mind, folks, because you know, when we were talking about time before, and we have to always factor that into things of this type. And what I'm talking about, of course, is the slaughter that is taking place right now in Gaza. The fact that Donald Trump's ceasefire, Netanyahu has just blown it up, okay? Blown up the ceasefire, blown up all of the hard work that Donald Trump did with Steve Witkoff and with Adam Bowler and these other people to bring an end to all of this. Netanyahu has just blown it up. And he did it within hours of Donald Trump announcing that the following day, 80,000 pages of unredacted JFK files were going to be released. I found some of President Trump's statements very interesting. He said, "I'm a man of my word. You know, I promised that I would release these files, and they're going to be released." And remember, folks, part of his word is that he's going to bring an end to the wars. Okay, so that's included in that. When he was asked by reporters whether or not he had seen any of them, he said, "Oh, well, I've heard about them." Now, I doubt that, folks. I think that Donald Trump is fully aware of the information involved in those pages and where Israel's involved. But he had to be very careful about it, because if he said, "Yes, I have seen that, I have seen them," and then all of this damaging information about Israel comes out, then, of course, Israel and her supporters, especially the nutcases here in the United States, the Christian Zionist types, are going to say, wait a minute. You knew that Israel was in those pages, and yet you released this, and now all this damage is being done to Israel. So he had to say, "I've heard about them." And as our good friend Stas brought up very accurately, folks, right now, at this very moment, Donald Trump is speaking with Vladimir Putin, and they are hammering out the details of bringing an end to the war in Ukraine. So if you're Benjamin Netanyahu, And Donald Trump has just ruined your plans for sinking an aircraft carrier in the Red Sea by launching airstrikes against the Houthi rebels. And if you're Benjamin Netanyahu and Donald Trump is supposed to be meeting with Vladimir Putin over the phone to hammer out the details for the ceasefire in Ukraine. And remember, folks, Gaza and Ukraine, they are related. We're going to be listening to a soundbite here in just a moment that proves that beyond any shadow of a doubt. If you're Benjamin Netanyahu and you know that Trump and Putin are going to be talking on the phone to hammer out some of the bigger details of this ceasefire that Donald Trump wants to see take place. And if you're Benjamin Netanyahu, and Donald Trump has just announced that in less than 24 hours, 80,000 pages of unredacted files related to the assassination of John F. Kennedy are going to be released, many files that are going to include Israel in that discussion, then what do you do to flip the script? You launch a bunch of airstrikes against Gaza. Stas, your thoughts?
Totally. This is now a situation. I think you said it earlier that he is backed into a wall and, like, you know, using metaphors, it's like an animal is the most dangerous.
Yep. Yep.
When you get him on the wall, you know, they don't like to have no way out. They yep. prefer to keep Trump in that position. And Netanyahu has proved that. He's certainly not afraid to use the death option. I mean, he is only happy when he's doing that. I think Ben-Gvir jumped back in the group, too. I think you had a story
yes,
about that.
Yes, he did. He's back.
That is interesting. It's so they're like, oh, they got pushed back from Witkoff and Trump and company, and now they're making their move to strike. We could see anything now. I mean,
absolutely.
And no. And as a response to, as a litmus test to how the certain people react, Mike Pence was delighted on his X account, like, oh, good.
Meaning excellent. Meaning what? The strikes or Ben-Gvir coming
strikes.
Back? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The strikes. Yeah. He was like, oh, you know. So I would love if I met Mike Pence to say, well, do you think Christ would be for killing all these Gazans? You know, it's and nobody's like, oh, do they have to cut off the whole food supply if you're doing hostage negotiations? I mean, isn't it like one of those movies where the bank robbers want something and, you know, the police give them some McDonald's at least? I mean, you know, it's anything goes. And it goes back to the that Tuck goes into, which is certain forms of religious extremism.
Yeah.
That cover up this murder where you can pull these things off. Where the normal rules of war and peace go out the window.
Yep.
And so, you know, these people know that. And I don't know, something definitely is looming if Trump is using this big card.
Yep.
And I think, oddly enough, I always add the strange comment of, you know, the Russians are looming in the background. And you know, they have been... One of the big themes in America for years now is Trump is a slave of Putin and all this. And I think that's because at some point, the information that Trump will someday release is going to be corroborated by the Russians and Putin.
Absolutely.
You know, like, especially with this thing, like if something happens and there begins these meteor wars over this dump, like you don't understand, because JFK assassination connects to USS Liberty.
Absolutely.
And on and on and on.
Absolutely. And RFK and AIPAC and all of them and all of the dirty money.
And freaking MLK.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So you're absolutely right. Yeah. I was going to bring this up is that in those 80,000 pages, it's not just JFK. It's the USS Liberty. It is MLK. It's RFK. It is Israel's bioweapons programs, because we know definitively Kennedy wasn't just keeping an eye on Israel's nukes. Operation Corona, folks. Look it up. It was a CIA program that was keeping an eye on Israel's bioweapons programs. They named it Corona. That's what it was called, Operation Corona. And they were keeping an eye on the Israeli, the IIBR, Israeli Institute for Biological Research. So it wasn't just the nukes, okay? Those 80,000 pages, even though President Trump, you know, kind of wrapped it up within the topic of JFK, there's a lot more in there. This is an existential threat. You could see the very state, the Jewish state, completely unravel as a result of these files being released. And so I think what my friend here is saying, folks, and this is something that you all need to weigh very carefully. When Netanyahu is cornered in this fashion, Netanyahu and all of these insane jihadists, jihad, folks, not jihad, but jihadists, and they are looking at the very possible or probable dissolution of their state that they have been waiting 2,000 years to rebuild, what are they going to do to turn the tables? It's not just an attack on Gaza, folks. Not just an attack on Gaza. We have to stay very sharp right now, because literally we are at this moment right now that the Jews, as insane as they are, they literally could incinerate the entire world. We're going to take a brief detour, folks, and listen to another soundbite here. This is that insane Amir Whiteman, who was he works for Netanyahu. He maintains an important caucus in the Likud party, and he laid out Israel's connection with Ukraine and how Israel is going to make sure that the Russians pay for the fact that they are aiding Hamas and these other groups in the Middle East. Let's give this a listen.
Amir, it's great to see you today.
Thank you.
Last week, a video of you went viral, as you're on Russia Today, saying that Russia would have to pay for what it's done in Israel.
I understand you're on the Russian payroll, and I understand this is a Russian propaganda, but you have to be very careful, because let me tell you, we're going to finish this war. We're going to win because we're stronger. After this, Russia will pay the price. Believe me, Russia will pay the price. Russia is supporting the enemies of Israel. Russia is supporting Nazi people who want to commit genocide on us, and just Russia will pay the price. Russia also. Now, listen to me very carefully. We are going to finish with these Nazis. We're going to win this war. It's going to take the time it's going to take, but we're going to win this war. Afterwards, we're not forgetting what you are doing. We're not forgetting. We will come. We will make sure that Ukraine wins. We will make sure that you pay the price for what you have done. You as Russia, and you and as all the enemies of Israel, and you as all the people who are now making everything they can to support genocide of the Jews in Israel. We are not forgetting.
What has Russia done to Israel, and what do you think is going to happen next?
Well, what happened is that, first of all, the Israeli citizens, Jews mostly, who have been butchered in the most horrendous way by these Islamo-Nazi terrorists, have been butchered with mostly Russian weapons. It has to be said, weapons manufactured in Russia or produced locally with Russian license. That's the first point. Beyond that, there are all kinds of signs which show that at least at some level, Russia knew that something was cooking, maybe not technically operationally, but there have been high-level meetings between the Hamas terrorists leadership and Russia over the past few months. There seems to be proof of a money transfer through some sort of a crypto exchange a few weeks ago of close to $100 million from Russia to Hamas, etc., etc. That's ante. That's previously to the 7th of October. But what is more significant is that afterwards, after the 7th of October, we have seen a crazy outpouring of hatred, of anti-Semitic, base, terrible anti-Semitic hatred on via all the usual channels of Russia propaganda. So this is a sign that does not lie. It's because this does not come spontaneously. It comes because it has been encouraged by the government, by the Russian government. So it is clear that Russia is supporting hatred against Israel. You can see that they even accused Israel of being guilty of these horrendous acts. And there has been no sympathy expressed officially by Russia for Israel and the victims. And you can see political support for Hamas. So these are all signs which are clear. And yes, I think the time will come, not now, but time will come when retribution will be exerted.
Ukraine, for a year and a half or more at this point, has been fighting Russian terrorism. Russia, which is aligned with Iran, supplying drones and other assistance, which is helping to kill Ukrainian civilians every day. Yet Israel has been slow to support Ukraine. Why is that? And do you think that'll change now?
Yeah, so as you can see, Israel is in a very, very unique situation. As the whole world can see now, it's obvious we are surrounded by genocidal enemies who want to literally physically wipe us out all of the map, and they want to kill every single Jew in this country. So Israel is in a very, very complex national security situation, and there's no other country in the world really which has the same sort of situation. So Israel has been trying its best to behave diplomatically and not to provoke Russia, because Russia, of course, is a major backer of Iran and of Hezbollah and Hamas and all these people, and the Assad regime in Syria. And there was, if you want, a sort of understanding that not to go against Russia too much, because that could be detrimental to Israeli national security's interest. That was true. I think there was no other choice for the Israeli government than to behave this way. But of course, most probably, once this war between us and the Hamas, and maybe, and unfortunately, hopefully not, but still in the north with the Hezbollah, ends, hopefully, in victory, then I think time will come for reckoning. Because, it's one thing if you want to try to behave diplomatically and not to involve yourself in other people's conflicts when you yourself have got a lot on your plate, but it's a different situation when you're being fired upon. When somebody shoots at you, then there are consequences. It's quite obvious.
So Amir, as a private citizen, not speaking on behalf of the government, not speaking on behalf of Likud, though you do control a very important caucus within Likud party, you are not speaking on their behalf, simply as a person, as an Israeli citizen. What is your view? What is just retribution that the Russians deserve to face for what they've done against the Israelis?
I think that it is important that Russia pays the price. I don't know. I hope maybe war will end by then in victory for Ukraine. But if war has not ended, by the time we are finished with our own business, then I think that Israeli weapons should find their way to the Ukrainian army in such a way as the Kremlin and its regime understands that they pay a very, very heavy price in blood, courtesy of their policies in Ukraine and in the Middle East. This is important that they understand that. In the same way that they understand that their soldiers are being killed by Western weapons, right? The message is very clear. Then if you want, Israel has to be part of the Western coalition, and the price that Russia pays has to include the price, if you want, coming from Israel.
So at this point, as we've talked about, Israeli society has changed. People recognize the threats that are emanating from Moscow, from Tehran, obviously for many years. At this point, do you think that it's going to be a shift in how we deal with countries like Russia, like Iran, where before sort of kicked the can down the road and just try to have buy peace time by time? Do Do you think it's ready for more drastic approach in dealing with these state actors that are sponsoring terrorism?
Yes, yes. I think the Israeli society has gone through a major trauma, probably the worst trauma we've gone through ever since the independence of Israel. I think this is worse probably than what we went through in the Yom Kippur War 50 years ago. And this will have consequences. The Israeli society is going to become much more hawkish and have much less patience for its enemies. Because the severity and the barbarity and the sadism of what we have gone through will not go unpunished. And people who are the enemies of Israel will pay a steep price, all of them. Don't get me wrong. Every single one will have to pay a price and will understand that Jewish blood does not come for free. They will pay a price, whoever they are. That's clear. Now, exactly who will pay what is, of course, dependent on the specific circumstances. But there will be a price. I'm sure of that.
Okay, folks. So that was the insane Amir Whiteman. He is part of Netanyahu's Likud. He runs, I guess, the biggest caucus within Netanyahu's party. And he was being interviewed on a podcast that I can't remember what it's called, Ukraine Today or something like that. But he clearly lays out the case as to how and why Israel is involved in the whole business between Russia and Ukraine, and why Israel has a vested interest in making sure that Russia pays for her crimes. And he says a few things here that he says that we're going to make sure that Ukraine wins and Russia will pay the price. And then he says retribution will come. And then he says Israeli weapons should find their way to Russia so that Russia pays a heavy price in blood, both because of Ukraine and because of the Middle East. And then he says that Israel has to be part of this Western coalition that is arming and facilitating this war on Ukraine's behalf. And at this very moment, folks, at this very moment, Donald Trump, President Trump, is talking with President Putin, who has made a contingent upon any ceasefire that the United States is not to support Ukraine anymore with any type of material assistance, such as weapons. So, again, folks, in bringing last night's slaughter on the part of Israel into its context, you're Benjamin Netanyahu. Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, has just announced that the following day, 80,000 pages of unredacted files related to the JFK assassination, where Israel's fingerprints are all over them. And as we discussed just a few moments ago, folks, it's not just JFK. There will be the notes about JFK's brother, Robert F. Kennedy, being assassinated. There will be mention of AIPAC, of the USS Liberty, no doubt of 9/11, of the Israeli Institute for Biological Research, of COVID-19, of the theft of the 2020 election, folks, Israel's involvement in all of that. And if you're Benjamin Netanyahu and Donald Trump, President Trump, has just announced that these files are coming out the next day when he's supposed to be on the phone with Russian President Putin. And it looks as if this war is going to come to a screeching halt. What do you do, folks? You start World War III. Stas, your thoughts?
All the shows that you've done are coming together. The Kudnik guy, definitely, there's two things going on. So Trump, it's looking more and more from, and I'm influenced by what you're saying, preemptive strike in Yemen prevented a strike on the naval fleet, very possible. Also, if the Russian military wasn't very good, there was what we discussed a few shows back, they shot at the Chernobyl.
Yes.
Plant.
Yep.
And I do think if, in general, the Russian army wasn't very good, they would have got him. The Russians have come up with a decisive victory. They were crazy enough to go to Kursk, which is one of the most legendary site of the most one of the most legendary wars in human history, the Kursk Battle, World War II. And now again, they were crazy enough to go in there, which is suicidal. I'm going off on kind of a tangent here, but certainly NATO men and certainly Israeli assets had to be in there. So they're mad about that. And they're mad at Trump. This is unbelievable. I mean, it's getting to a fever pitch. And so now, in light of all this, it's starting to make sense that Trump has pulled out these documents. Because they're already, although they're looking in the media as small stories, these are probably a lot bigger things than we know about. I mean, like you pointed out, that nuclear power plant strike, although it came up these months, what did they have to do to minimize that? And then the strike on Moscow was awful a few weeks ago. I mean, they the Russian military, lucky they're pretty darn good, because it was something like 327 drones.
Yes.
They launched at Moscow, and they did well. Now, if they didn't do well, and all that Moscow city was lit up, well, then we might be lit up now.
Yep.
Because what the American Gentiles have to understand is that they squeezed Russia to death, and they're squeezing these poor people in the Middle East to death. Whereas, again, I think I always fall back on the scenario that when it's too much, will the Gentiles go for it? Also, you know, and this seems to be what the Israelis want. And that guy, I mean, who could do that? Who could go on a show? You know, even people who are at an all-out open war have to have some kind of manners, you know. And he's like, you have to pay a price retribution. I mean, it's just crazy. But they are warriors, like Ostrowski said on his introduction to By Way of Deception. Don't you forget it. My people are warriors. But they've been afraid of Trump because just like this happened, they know they've been dealing with him for years in New York. Everything he's done his whole life, all these rough deals, dirty deals, stuff he's done has led him to this, the deal, the ultimate deal that he always refers to. And a guy that made that many, he's like, he knows what's at stake and he calls it the ultimate deal. And they're trying to do everything in their power to keep him away from doing that.
Yep.
And now he's got two simultaneously world-ending peace deals he's going to make. Ukraine-Russian war and Middle East peace deal. Yep. Unbelievable. Two at the same time.
Okay, so Stas, the obvious retort that you're going to hear from all of the usual suspects is, well, then why isn't Donald Trump coming out and condemning Israel for bombing Gaza? Why are various people within his administration saying that Hamas is the one who broke the ceasefire and they're getting what they deserve and blah, blah, blah? What's your response to something like that?
They're being too gentle. In their mind, this is colonialism, and the white man is teamed up with the Israeli man to beat up the brown man, or those kind of scenarios. They're actually comforting themselves. The situation is way worse. It's Netanyahu's got his cartoon bomb in his hand. He wants to blow up the world, and Trump is trying to put his fingers to put out the fuse.
Okay, but
so they're missing the point.
But okay,
I didn't go off too much.
No. But the point is that why would Trump not just come out and say? Because let's face it, Netanyahu just ruined Trump's probably 6 months worth of work. Because you know, Witkoff didn't just start working on the ceasefire on January the 19th, okay? So Netanyahu has effectively just destroyed all of the work that Donald Trump did in bringing that ceasefire to Gaza. So why does not Trump... See, what I'm doing here, Stas, is I'm playing devil's advocate, okay? Because we're going to get these people who are going to say, well, if Trump is against the war in Gaza, then why isn't he coming out against it? Why are we seeing these press releases from the White House saying that Hamas is getting what they deserve and blah, blah, blah? Why?
It's his base. His base.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, they would go mental. You know, how dare you? Wait a minute. We voted for you because you're going to rebuild the temple or whatever.
Exactly. Yep.
That is the big landmine that Trump's always got to wrestle with, and Netanyahu knows it. Netanyahu, who has been preaching beside Reverend Hagee,
yep,
in his massive place, he knows that those people, they love Trump, but they'll get all confused.
Yes.
And possibly
turn on him. Possibly turn on him. Possibly turn on him. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is probably one of the main goals of BB, right?
Sure. Absolutely. And the other thing too, that people have got to understand, folks, yes, we have a Republican Congress. We have a Republican Senate, but it's a very slim majority. Okay. And you not all of them who are Republicans are in the same camp as Marjorie Taylor Greene and Congresswoman Luna and some of these other people who are really, you know, they are true believers with regards to what President Trump is trying to do. A lot of them are Lindsey Graham types and Tom Cotton types, people who right now are pretending to support Trump because they know that their base of support back in their states really love Trump. And so they've got to be very careful. They have to walk a very careful line about not coming out in opposition to what the president does. But if something were to happen, folks, like, for example, a sinking of an aircraft carrier and, God forbid, the loss of 5,000 U.S. Military personnel. And if all of a sudden now there is a news report coming out from the Washington Post saying that that President Trump had intelligence saying that there was an imminent attack on this carrier group and he didn't do anything about them, guess what, folks? It'd be the third round of impeachments, and this time he wouldn't be able to count on his Republican support in the Congress and in the Senate to stand behind him. Okay, so my reason for bringing this up is because those of you out there who are susceptible to some of the screeching that takes place within the alternative media, the truth movement, whatever we want to call it, and they're saying, oh, well, Trump green-lighted Netanyahu's attack on Gaza. He's all for it. No, folks, he's not. If he were all for it, there wouldn't have been a ceasefire. There wouldn't have been the release of hostages, okay? It's that simple. So when we come to this fork in the road and we have to figure out, okay, well, then what's going on here? Then we have to take a step back and we have to look at the whole picture. And the whole picture here is Trump knows, as Stas accurately said, that he's dealing with an absolute nutcase in terms of Netanyahu and the government over there. These are people that are armed to the teeth with nuclear and biological weapons. They can shut down our economy, all communications, everything, just with a keyboard stroke. And his base of support here in this country hinges on how he deals with the stinking Jews. That's what it boils down to, folks. Based on how he treats Israel, this is the red light or the green light that determines how far he is willing to go with his plans of averting World War III and Armageddon. Stas, would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. I've got a question for you, a weird one, maybe a weird one. I'm thinking now, it's a possibility that if we go back three or four shows, do you think that Trump is going to have to send assets in to rescue the remaining hostages?
I have always maintained that that was in the back of his mind, and it was in the back. It was in the forefront of Adam Bowler's mind because he wrote an op-ed that appeared in The Hill a few months ago. Remember, this is Adam Bowler, the same guy that was meeting with Hamas directly just a week or two ago, folks. He wrote an op-ed that appeared in The Hill where he said that we have special forces that are specifically trained to deal with this, and we may have to do this. Now, with regards to what has just happened with the Israelis murdering all of these innocent men, women, and children in Gaza, I don't know what Donald Trump's next move is going to be, but I am not influenced or affected in the least by the statements coming out of the press secretary or the U.S. representative to the U.N. or anything like that, saying, oh, Hamas is getting what they deserve. It may very well be that Trump said, all right, let Netanyahu tie the rope around his neck even tighter. Because now Netanyahu has just given the president what he needs if he decides to say, look, there's only one way to bring an end to this, which is to bring U.S. military assets into the fight. So that's my answer.
Yeah, that he'd have to go. The reason why I'm thinking this, because as this goes on, in addition to the horrors they're committing, it's also like a provocation. Every time they bomb, you know, when will be the limit? When will the Iranians, for instance, be forced to respond? When will Trump may have to gauge, you know, at some point they might be like, well, this guy can't do it. You know, let's go for it.
Yep.
Because they're next. If that could be in the mix, you know, like if they see that the Witkoff team and Trump can't get anywhere, and this spot, presumably this bombing is going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
That the Gaza peace deal is trash. You know, at some point they may make a decision.
Yeah,
and certainly Trump knows that, and he knows more than we do. Very frightening. I mean, I don't know when any day could be the time. Like, they'll make a decision.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
You know, which is in the mix. It's like if you own a stock, you know, and it's crashing, and you lose all hope. You're like, well, I might as well save a few dollars. Not the greatest analogy.
But. No, actually, it's a perfect analogy because we are in that situation now where it's a desperate time, and people are inclined to do desperate things. Stas, this has been a fascinating discussion, at least for me. I hope that it is as well received by the listeners. I have my doubts about that, unfortunately, because I deal with it every day, and I know how people's brains function. There's some places they just won't go. You know, they read on a website, you know, that Trump is a secret Jew and he's making the Masonic Illuminati hand sign, and you just can't reason with people like that. But I guess what I would like to impart on the listeners before we close out the program is that, folks, things have just escalated incredibly, not just with the attacks on Gaza, but with the release of these files. And there's so much that we don't know, folks. This is the bottom line. So much that we don't know. And we really are now, I think Stas is very accurate in saying this, we are at this place where things are on the verge of crashing and anything could happen literally at any second. Stas, your final thoughts before we say sayonara to the listeners.
I agree with what you were saying, that they can cause trouble with just a stroke of a keyboard. You know, so that's where we're at now. We can only hope and pray that maybe this document dump will bind them in some way, and that they're for the good, or they can hold them off. I have to confess right now, the amount of things that could happen right now are so many.
Yep.
You know, they could pull a domestic thing here. They could pull a fight anywhere.
Sure.
We can only hope that his preemptive strike was worth it. I'll have to say any of the other pundits are probably just going to be endlessly attacking Trump on that. We'll lose the nuance.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. Yep, well, that's one stock, Stas, that we can we can bet the ranch on. Because they never let us down in that regard. They always, when they've got the fork in the road that says, okay, smart or stupid, they always take the stupid road. If you would hold on there for just a second, I'm going to close out the program. I want to talk to you off the air.
Thanks.
All right, folks, that was the irreplaceable Stas. We thank him once again for giving us his time and his very, I find him to be one of the most fascinating human beings on the planet, folks. If I didn't feel as bad as I already do about monopolizing his time, I'd call him. I'd just talk to him all day, because he just has a very, very good bead on things. Folks, like we just said a moment ago, the heat has been turned up, not just exponentially, but I would say apocalyptically. The Jews are out of their minds. They are out to see World War III and Armageddon take place in order to make good on all of these devilish and diabolical prophecies that are the lifeblood of their thought processes and their behaviors. These prophecies that talk about the end of the world and Israel becoming the headquarters of all human activity, in not just on the planet, folks, but throughout the universe. They actually think that Israel, and especially Jerusalem, it is the dead center of the universe. And these are people, folks, who operate under the mindset that if we can't have it, nobody can. And we literally, as I said, just within the last 24 hours, folks, we have turned a page here in this horrible book that literally we may not recognize the world by week's end. Anyway, folks, that's it for today. Thank you for your time, and hope that it resonated with you. As I said, I'm going to try to get this thing loaded up on right to the website, as long as I don't run into any server problems as I have before. It'll go right onto the website, and then you will not be bothered with commercials. Anybody who's interested in helping out with the costs associated with putting this program together, we encourage you to click on that link and send us whatever you can. Every little bit helps. And until we meet again, folks, as we say often, we need to pray for several things. And as unusual as this is going to sound, given the discussion that we've just had, one of the things that we have to pray for is for the Jews to do something really, really nuts. Because absent that, unfortunately, the Gentiles are probably not going to figure out the nature of the danger that we all face. So until we meet again, folks, go out and pray for those miracles, because we sure as hell need them.